In a world where a man has to generate weekly content for his talk show and also justify paying $9.95 a month for yet another subscription service, comes Sean's MoviePass Podcast. Listen in this week as Sean is joined by John Wilmont to form Team Thrillmont, aka Team Will Smith, and they'll be discussing all their favorite movies they've seen so far in the theater using MoviePass. Yes, this week they're going to be talking about such films as Thor Ragnarok, It Chapter 1, Kingsman Golden Circle, Bad Moms Christmas, Murder on the Orient Express, and Blade Runner 2049. Later in the show, they'll be discussing their thoughts on upcoming trailers for such films as Black Panther, The Greatest Showman, Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle, and of course, Star Wars, The Last Jedi. You're not going to want to miss this episode of the Sean vs. Wild podcast. And don't forget to grab your movie pass for just $9.95 a month. Check it out. Don't forget, guys, to get your popcorn, your sodas, and of course, to get wild.
Back in the Smithsonian.
Dude, it's so comfortable in here.
Team Thrillmont.
We in there.
Team Will Smith.
We in here.
Up in the Smithsonian today. John, it's great to have you back.
It's great to be here. Like I said, I'm comfortable as all get out right now.
Guys, this is a new format, really. I mean, even though John and I have discussed music before, mm-hmm. we're talking about something near and dear to our hearts.
Personal, on my skin.
Yes, we're talking about movies today.
On your skin.
And mine too, yeah.
Yeah.
And more specifically, we're talking about MoviePass.
MoviePass.
Now, granted, guys.
Best thing ever.
MoviePass does not sponsor this. We're just telling you how awesome MoviePass is because it has genuinely
changed our lives.
Changed our lives and our movie going experience. I went from going to the movies, I don't know, once a year maybe to see something really special to now I'm just going to the movies all the time.
I went about probably once every 6-7 weeks, but yeah, I've changed that.
See, now we're
at
just
the lowest, probably once a week. At the lowest.
Yeah, exactly. Well, guys, if you don't know what MoviePass is, I'm just going to hit you with some background deets. MoviePass is a company. It was bought by Netflix a couple months ago. It's $9.99 a month. You pay them. They send you a debit card.
Credit card-ish thing.
Yep.
Yeah, it's just a card that has MoviePass all over it.
Yep, and then you download the MoviePass app. Mm-hmm. You go to the movie theater. You check into the time and the place, and the movie that you want to go to. And then when you do that, you get a nice check mark. You go right in.
Show them the card.
Yep, you pay with the card, and that's it.
Yeah, easy as pie.
You only pay $9.99 a month to MoviePass, and then that card basically just loads the funds, I guess, to the theater. And
well, actually, the guy told me what it does.
How does it work, dude?
I went up because I didn't know how it worked at first, and I showed it to him. I was like, hey, I have this card, and I checked into a movie. He was like, which one? I said, Kingsman. I showed him my phone, and as soon as he saw what it was on my phone, he tried to do it on his computer, swiped it, worked out. They put the exact amount of money for the ticket on the card so that when they swipe it, it's like you're using your own card.
Yeah. And, guys, I don't know how much movies are where you are, but now that I've been going, I realize that even on a Wednesday night, a movie here is $12.90.
Yeah.
For a standard movie.
I think even a matinee is like $11.
Exactly. So with this, with MoviePass, you can go see a movie, one per day, as long as it's not 3D or IMAX. You can go see the same movie, you know, 30 times in a month if you want to.
If you love it that much, yes.
Yeah, you certainly can. And it's just $9.99 a month.
It's the best thing that I literally lost my mind when someone told me. I said, that's real?
Yeah, and I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, I signed up for it immediately.
I had to wait till somebody else got it. And
to make sure it wasn't
it.
A hoax. Yeah, and I was like, I'm not giving my credit card information.
Is this too good to be true?
Yeah,
what is this?
I don't believe this.
So Well, they've got me hooked. Mm-hmm. So I suggest everyone out there, if you like movies, if you like going to the movies, again, we're not sponsored by them yet.
Once a day, actually a lot of movie theaters are like not sponsored, but you can use them there.
Yeah.
And I was amazed. It's like every theater within like a 10-mile radius from where we live, you can use it anywhere.
Oh, even more than that. I mean, you can go, guys, if you're in the Louisville metro area, you can use it all throughout Louisville. You can use it throughout Southern Indiana. Even if you live out in Corydon and things like that, you can still use the movie pass pretty much anywhere that you're located. There's going to be a theater around that's going to accept it, and it rocks.
Yeah, it's great.
And today we're going to talk about
movies we've seen.
These movies that we've seen.
Yeah,
we're giving you guys like a fourth quarter of the year.
Yeah,
review on a bunch of movies that we've seen.
Yeah,
we were going to do this. Just a little backstory. We had the idea to do maybe one at a time, but as we were waiting for our pass and we're accumulating, some of the movies that we went to go see are already out of the theater. Some of them are already on their way to DVD.
Yeah.
So we decided, hey, we're going to give our thoughts on a few movies that we've already seen.
Speed round. Yeah.
We're going to keep it spoiler free.
Yes.
For the most part. You might hear a big spoiler alert
if something crazy is coming.
Yes. And then that's when you just skip.
Yeah.
You know, just skip 15 to 30 to however many seconds.
Yeah, it's not going to last long.
No.
We're not going to go in depth on spoilers. That's just rude.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You guys are going to want to see most of these.
Yes.
Hopefully.
Yes.
Hopefully you'll get something out of it.
There's pros and cons for all, but I think above all, you're going to see most of them.
Yeah, and we're going to hit you with those pros and cons too. So we'll talk about each movie a little bit, and then we'll hit you with the pros and cons, tell you if you should go see it or if you should pass on it.
If you should.
Movie pass. Nice. We just did that.
Yes.
Sometimes we even finish each other's
sentences. It's crazy how this, you know, it's how
crazy.
It works.
Yeah. We'll just finish each other's
sentences all the time. And like the life just goes on. It's like we know how to finish each other's
sandwiches.
Yeah. Like, I don't understand.
Exactly. Okay. And then, John, let's go ahead and just get right into it, man. You got another text again. You're always getting texts on the podcast, bro.
I just downloaded Grand Theft Auto, and my friend from work, he said, "Where's our crew at?" It's nothing.
Sorry, bro. I'm not in San Andreas right now. I'm in the Smithsonian.
Los Santos. But yes, I'm in the Smithsonian, and this is where I plan to be.
Los Santos. Yeah, I forgot about that. Was it? Oh, yeah.
San Andreas was a Grand Theft Auto. Yeah, it was like the third.
I'm not in Vice City here, guys. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
That was my favorite one, Vice City was.
I'm not in London Underground. I remember playing Grand Theft Auto back in the day when it was just a little top-down thing, and you were shooting like pea-sized bullets at the Yakuza.
I watch YouTube videos of that stuff sometimes just to see, like, this is what we used to play?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. Actually, it was like the first... Someone came over to my house, and they're like, "Here, check this out, man. I downloaded it off the internet. It's a crack. Have you ever heard of a crack?" And then he showed it to me, and I was like, "Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, this is groundbreaking.
A free game? Neat." Don't worry, guys. I bought it later. So
yeah, we're not breaking the law here.
Yeah, neither here nor there. John, what's the first movie you think we should talk about?
Probably It. That's probably the
best. I think that's going to be the one that people are going to want to hear about.
Yeah, because it was the most talked about, obviously, up until that point, like, of the year. They were like, "This is coming out this year. We got to see it."
I mean, it was breaking some serious records as far as October releases, horror movie releases, opening weekends, and things like that. It was a huge event. And so I went and saw It, and you've seen it.
Yep. I've seen It. I've seen it.
Stephen King's It, Chapter 1. It.
Yeah, Chapter 1.
So, what did you think about the movie?
The movie as a whole is great. I thought it was great. The children cast, the guy, the little kid from Stranger Things,
Finn Wolfhard.
Finn. Oh man, he stole the show, which is crazy because I thought the main character would be Finn whenever like they announced the cast and stuff, but it wasn't. Regardless, I think he did the best. Pennywise. Oh man,
see. That's two important things that I wanted to talk about was I thought that the children's dynamic was fantastic.
Yeah, Goonie-esque.
Yeah. Reminded me a lot of like Stand By Me because it was very kind of like a coming of age. And even the kid that played Bill, which maybe in later episodes will be more specific. We'll have our IMDb up and we can name every single one of these actors.
Yeah,
But the actor that played Bill Denbrough, I thought actually reminded me of a young Will Wheaton from, you know, from a young original. Gordy LaChance from Stand By Me.
I haven't seen, not seen in a while, I haven't seen the original It. Did Bill in the original It have a stutter problem?
He stuttered Yes, it wasn't as apparent,
I didn't think it was that bad.
Jonathan Brandis was great. I thought the kids in the original It were fantastic, too. But these kids have a really great dynamic in this one. And the real standouts for me, Richie, Finn Wolfhard's character. Mm-hmm. Richie was great. Bill was great. I thought the girl that played Beverly was also was fantastic.
Yeah, she was great. I was sad that... the second tallest one with the curly hair, I don't even remember his name. Yeah,
Stan
he wasn't
Uris.
Even in it that much, for real. He didn't say how many lines or anything like that.
Yeah. Have you read the book?
I don't have that kind of time, Sean.
I know. I'm actually reading it right now. I read it years and years ago, and I'm kind of rereading it right now. I was just kind of inspired after seeing the movie. I was like, hey, I'll go.
I thought about it real hard.
Pick the book back up. You can borrow it when I'm done. I'm almost done. I'm like 900 pages into it. So I got about 300 more to go, and then I'll be done.
Fuck that. 900 pages. So,
but Stan's not, he's around, but he's not a huge character really in the book, I don't think. Mm-hmm. I felt like the kid that plays Mike Hanlon also didn't get a lot of screen time in the new one. Would have liked to seen him in it a little bit more. He'll be playing a more pivotal part as an adult.
Yeah, you know what was crazy to me? The dynamic between Georgie and Pennywise, very few moments that there are.
Right.
It's crazy. Like, Georgie was so good.
And talking about stealing the show, Georgie may have been really one of the most standout characters to me. Very creepy. That kid, he's got to be, what, 6 years old?
Just 6, 7, yeah.
Absolutely just... made every scene that he was in. They did a lot of, it was very creepy. Like you said, the dynamic between
the two of them,
And Pennywise, a lot of people, I think, romanticize Tim Curry's version of Pennywise just because it might have frightened them as a child.
Yeah.
They're looking back at it through,
different eyes.
Different eyes, exactly. But I think that Bill Skarsgård's Pennywise, absolutely fantastic. I guess it all comes down to, do you want to see Pennywise be more
playful?
Yeah, yucky and funny. That's what you're going to get with Tim Curry's.
Yeah.
With this Pennywise, very few.
Very darker.
Yes.
Very much darker.
Yes.
Very, just very subtle with his words. Nonstop drool.
Yeah. Crossed eye. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
He had a wandering eye through a lot of the
crazy
scenes.
It's big lip. I saw him on Conan, like Bill Skarsgård doing the face, like the smile with the lip ported out. Oh, it's crazy.
Yeah. So I thought that it was great. I thought that making it just the kids and then having an adult movie later is, at first I was kind of taken aback. I was like, really, they're going to cash in by making two movies?
That's exactly what I thought.
But I think it worked.
Yeah. But it's because you put the two from the Tim Curry version, like, together, it's like 4.5 hours. And
right.
No one, I don't care if it's Lord of the Rings, no one wants to sit in the movie theater for 4.5, 5 hours to watch a great, no matter how great the story may be.
Right.
I'm not doing it.
Unless, you went to go see Gone with the Wind and...
Yeah, well, back then, that like in 1960, 50, whatever year.
1938.
Yeah, there you go, exactly. However old that was, that was like to them our like Friday Night Lights. You know what I'm saying? Like that was their extravagant thing.
That's true. They didn't have binge watching on Netflix.
No, they didn't. Not even close.
So, but yeah, I thought it was really, really well done. Like I said, I love the dynamic of the kids. Pennywise was spooky, scary. Some things that I would have qualms about. I would say the fact that Mike is not in it very much. And they gave a lot of Mike's stuff to Ben's character.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Ben was a fine character, but as someone that kind of has always related to the fat kid in It,
mm-hmm.
I felt that they kind of made him a little too much of like, he almost looked way younger than the other ones.
Yeah.
And he didn't look very...
He didn't do much per se.
I imagine Ben Hanscom to be like a more husky type figure that could beat somebody up if it came to it, what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas this kid kind of just seemed like he was a little bit younger. Didn't seem very, physical. So, you know what I'm saying?
The Neville Longbottom of It.
Right.
Over the movie. Yeah. I see what you're saying. Yeah.
So that might be something, different. A few scenes, of course, that they're going to leave out of the book. no spoilers here on this podcast. So, but I would definitely recommend.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Checking it out
when it comes out on DVD, Netflix, whatever chance you get, and you haven't seen it, you need to watch it. It's great. It's phenomenal.
Yeah, I would agree. What and also too, something that I heard was, I know a lot of people thought that the Richie character is kind of polarizing because we both thought he stole the show. He's a very standout.
He's a great actor as a kid.
That's what I think too. But some people were telling me, you know, Richie is just, he's at an 11, man. He's acting, chewing the scenery. He's way, acting way beyond all the other kids.
He's the comedic relief of the movie.
That's what I thought too. That's,
you have to have that.
I had no qualms with it.
In any horror movie, there's some, either small or big nitbit where the comedic relief has to happen.
Yeah. And I feel like him being extra, that's part of Richie's character.
That's part of what it is. Yeah.
That's why he's Richard Trashmouth Tozier in the book. Mm-hmm. He's always running his mouth.
The scene in the house is the best scene in the movie.
I agree.
To me.
Fantastic. Right,
no more spoilers. I'm not going to spoil it.
No more spoilers. Yeah, but okay. Guys, there's a scene that takes place in a house.
It's great.
You're going to love it.
Yeah.
And then another big change though, and I don't think this is a spoiler, but they moved it. Anybody that's familiar with the original movie, takes place in the late 50s.
They moved it to the
80s. Late 80s.
Yeah.
Which I thought worked.
They have to, well, in their planning aspect, it had to, because the book, the time period is 25 years, isn't it?
27 to 28 years.
27 to 28 years after that. So they do that. They want to put it, the next movie hopefully comes out in a few years. It'll just be 2 years past.
Right.
In their head.
In the somewhat present.
Yeah.
So
it just happened in the storyline.
Right.
Which I think it worked out. I think it was nostalgic for a lot of people that went and saw it.
Mm-hmm.
Not for me. I wasn't born until 92, so I don't know nothing about that.
Right. I'll let you borrow the original if you have a VHS player, aka a VCR. I can make it happen
for
you.
What's a VCR?
Yeah, exactly.
I saw this commercial, but you know, no, that's never.
But yeah, so for me, we'll do a pros and cons round. I think we've talked a little bit about it. We can go ahead and move on. But pros for me. The children.
Children, yeah.
And their dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
And their casting. Very high pro for me.
I agree with all those.
Pennywise. High pro for me. Cons. I would just say some of the characters, I'm used to seeing, you know, the original 90s. Some of the children actors weren't maybe as endearing as they were in the 90s.
Yeah. Change the story up a little bit to where some members got different lines and where some, like Mikey, didn't look that masculine or the Ben, character that
yeah.
they were.
Right, yeah. So, yeah, and the fact that they kind of maybe put some of Mike's attributes and portrayed them into Ben's character, maybe a bit of a con for me.
Yeah, but, I can see that.
What about you?
I mean, from a person who hasn't seen the original yet very many times and doesn't have a very good recollection of it, so a newcomer per se.
Perfect.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah, going in there, I would think it was really good. I'll give it a 9 out of 10. The biggest qualm I had is that if you're going to it looking for a horror movie, like an old, like Jason, Halloween, Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street, any of those movies, you're looking for that, you're not going to get it. It has a few jump moments, but the storyline itself is what makes it frightening. So right. If you're looking for the first half of what I just said, you're not going to find it.
Right.
But if you're looking for a story and something to kind of tug your heartstrings at some points in time and to scare you a little bit, it's a perfect movie for you.
Yeah, and I feel like you're right. This is much more, even though it has horror elements to it, it's a much more coming-of-age film than it is like a dark Goonies, you know, or mm-hmm. a dark Stand By Me.
Yeah, exactly. Like
darker Stand By Me, yeah, I should say.
Like the Jason movies. They all had creepy aspects to where like you were haunting and like, is it going to come around that corner? No, it didn't. That was scary. But this movie just has jumps where you don't think they're going to be.
Right.
So that's the best part of the scary aspect of it. But the story itself is what caught me. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
I'm a story person. And I love that they had a lot of in-depth parts in each person's backstory and current story outside of the clown.
Absolutely. And you give it a 9 out of 10?
Mm-hmm.
I'm giving it, I have just a little bit, I think maybe a stricter grading scale, but I'm giving it an 8 out of 10. And would you recommend someone see this, or would you recommend a movie pass?
No, they don't want a movie pass on it. They want a movie pass and go see it.
Yeah.
If they got a chance.
Definitely go see it.
Yeah.
That's sure. My final verdict. And that's that. And Team that's Will that. Smith has spoken.
So you can't handle the
Team Will Smith has spoken, guys. Definitely go see it. And movie 2 on our list
would be Kingsman.
Yeah. Kingsman, The Golden Circle.
The Golden Circle.
Now, did you go into it seeing the original Kingsman?
Yeah, I didn't see it that day, but I mean, it wasn't that long ago. Like, to refresh your memory, you got to do that with sequels. You got to watch Absolutely. The first one before you go see the second one. And yeah, probably about a week prior, I saw it.
You know, Kingsman was a movie that I didn't see originally until, like, I didn't see it in the theater, mm-hmm. didn't see it when it came out or anything like that for Redbox.
Yeah.
And randomly, a friend of mine, Critty, big shout out to Critty here, he was like, hey, man, watch this movie. It's called Kingsman. You should really check it out.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just thinking, oh, is that, to me, it kind of reminded me of like Red. Do you remember that movie,
yeah,
Red?
Yeah, my dad, oh my God, my dad loves that movie. Bruce Willis and,
yeah. Where it's almost like older agents. And because I saw, you know, like Michael Caine and things like that. And then I was thinking, oh, man, it might be kind of like Red or something like that. But, he told me, hey, trust me on this. You're going to want to see it. Very cool. The action is very cool. It's kind of a under the radar movie. And I put it off for maybe, maybe a year.
Mm-hmm.
And then randomly one day,
I came across it.
And I watched it, uh-huh. and I was pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, blown away.
And as soon as I watched it, I was like, oh, man, the sequel comes out in like a month and a half. Yeah. I got to go see the sequel.
Oh, that's how I was.
So
I can't believe I waited so long to watch it, but it was definitely high on my list to go see. And it wasn't that it was bad. It was good.
My opinion, I'll go ahead and just start here since you started on it, and then you can follow up with me.
Yeah.
For Kingsman, I thought that the movie was really fun.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very fun sequel. I think that in certain parts, it lacked from the original, because the original, you're getting all the story. You're getting all the backstory. You're getting a lot of the more important, heartfelt moments and stuff like that, obviously.
Yeah.
Now that all that's been established, where do you go from there?
Yeah, how do you build more?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think what Kingsman did as a sequel is kind of what, like, Fast and the Furious does, where they're like, we're going to take this. We know what we've already established the story, so we're going to just take it to a whole new level. So if you like the action in the first one, this is going to be action times 10. You know, if you liked the comedy, this is going to be comedy times 10. If you like the quirkiness, it's going to be quirky times 10.
Yeah.
And I felt that this was a much more over the top movie than the first one, even though the first one's pretty over the top too at times. This one just takes it to a whole new level.
I agree with that.
I feel, though, that sometimes it does it to the detriment of the story, because some of the story elements, I was like, oh man, this is pretty wacky,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Pretty out there. Yeah.
But very enjoyable. I would definitely, tell everyone that if you like the first one, you should definitely go see the second one.
Yeah, it was a defined sequel. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not that it's bad. It's not that it's great. When it's a sequel, you get what you pay for. You get what you signed up for. The storyline itself, based out of Kentucky a little bit, which was great for us.
Yeah, I thought that was cool. Big shout out to Louisville, Kentucky.
Yeah, big shout out. I'm pretty sure it was Brown-Forman where they filmed.
Mm-hmm.
So big shout out to them. That was great to have, like, you know, stuff be it like near us, to where we could be like, oh, I could see Louisville over there in the corner. But like what you said, they already built the characters in the first one. Like, they built him up, and then they had a big name like Sam Jackson being a bad guy in the first one. That draws appeal to him because everybody knows who Sam Jackson is.
Obviously.
And, I mean, and having a new guy with Taron something. That's that guy's the main.
Edgerton.
Edgerton, was that right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Eggsy, that's who that is. I thought he was great in both.
Yeah,
I don't think you can fault him.
He has a lot of charisma.
Yeah,
that
you
kid
can't
does.
Fault him for any cons that you have, I don't feel like.
Mm-hmm.
More of my cons are in the writing, I feel like.
Yeah.
Like, the movie itself, in the first one, when they had the in-and-out angle with the camera during the church scene,
mm-hmm.
that was, like, not groundbreaking, but you never seen that. You know,
right,
it was
exactly.
Cool. It was crazy. It was cool. And the music, that was a great directed, scene. But in the second one, they tried to do a lot of that.
Yeah, I agree. I think they relied a lot more on the way it was shot, the more cutting edge camera angles and different things that they've done, and the CG and things like that. They kind of relied heavily on the more special effects, I guess, type aspects.
Yeah, they spent more. You could tell them they spent more time in an editing room than in a writing room.
Right. Absolutely.
In my opinion.
I agree.
But it doesn't take away from the fact that it's a good movie.
Yeah, and even though Julianne Moore is a fantastic actress, I don't feel like she had the charisma, the same charisma as Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah, no, not at all.
I tell you, a big standout, this is, I don't know, maybe a spoiler, but there's a pretty significant acting role in Kingsman by Sir Elton John.
Yes.
And I thought that randomly his character kind of like stole a lot of scenes. He was super funny in his kind of brief amount of screen time that he got.
Yeah, I mean, when they're fighting, when him and that guy are fighting with a dog, you know, that was funny. That was fun. But in my opinion, this is where we're going to contrast, because I feel like, you know, the Elton John part of the story, I'm not going to give anything away, but the Elton John part of the story was just kind of out there. Like what you said earlier, you know, like it was just unnecessary added time on screen that didn't need to be. This wasn't a necessarily short movie. You know, it was like I was in there for 2 hours.
Oh, yeah.
But it wasn't necessarily a long movie either. But there's a lot of things that were in there that I felt didn't need to be.
Sure. And I felt like they kind of underutilized certain actors. I felt they underutilized Channing Tatum.
Yes, for
Channing
sure.
Channing Tatum is probably, I'm sure his name is pretty big on the poster.
Yeah, it has to be.
And he didn't, I mean, it was like they introduced him, and then his character was just like dormant for most of the movie.
Yeah, it was crazy. It's the same kind of concept as Ryan Reynolds in Life. I was excited, you know, to say, I was like, Ryan, I love Ryan Reynolds. 20 minutes in. Bye-bye.
Exactly.
But it's not, I mean, yeah, it's. I was crazy. I was mad.
And then, I mean, it's kind of nice seeing Halle Berry getting a little bit more screen time. I haven't seen Halle Berry in a hot minute.
In a comic book aspect that's not Catwoman.
Exactly. Exactly. So, way to redeem yourself in the comic book world, Halle Berry.
Yeah, that was a good step.
And you got to think, she won an Academy Award for Monsters Ball. And then she did Catwoman. And then she did Gothica.
God. What a horrible decision making in her team. I know.
Fire your agent.
Yeah, fire your agent now.
Yeah, please. Well, shake his hand for, you know, giving you Monsters Ball and then fire him right after that.
20 years ago.
So, pros and cons for you for Kingsman.
Pros, main guy, Taron Egerton is a great actor. I think the story itself was, you know, okay. Could have, like we said earlier, could have used more time in the writing room. Better spent time, maybe, either way. But the action is great. If you like the first one's action, quirkiness, funny stuff, like you said, it's a go-see.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that you want to watch. But if you if you don't like sequels, if you didn't watch the first one, or if you watched the first one and didn't like anything to do with it, then definitely do not go see this movie.
Yeah.
And the writing, besides that, the writing to me was just a little lackluster.
Yeah. Pros for me, I thought the movie looked great. Mm-hmm. It's enjoyable at times. Obviously, I love the character, so it was nice to see some of them back. Cons, I just feel like they underutilized certain characters. They underutilized Channing Tatum's character. And also, I felt Julianne Moore is not as strong a villain.
No, there's no way she could.
Sam Jackson. But also, the cowboy guy.
Yeah, I don't know what his acting name is. His name in the movie is Whiskey.
Yeah.
He was great.
Whiskey was really good.
I thought he was excellent. I didn't know.
Yeah.
I don't know who he is.
That was another pro for me. Whiskey was a pro for me. Mm-hmm. Very interesting character. So what would you rank this?
Oh, probably about a 6.5, 7. It's average. You know, yeah. I mean, I enjoyed it while I was there.
Right.
Because I watched the first one. Like I said, if you haven't seen the first one, if you don't like it at all, do not go see this.
Yeah. I 7 out of 10 is exactly my rating on this. I would say definitely go see it if you enjoyed the first one. And this is a movie that you're probably going to want to have a bag of popcorn and a soda while you're watching it, because it's just kind of a popcorn film. You know, you can watch it leisurely and you're not going to miss anything if you have to get up and go to the bathroom.
Yeah, you got to make a phone call. Just let it play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's not that in-depth of a story, but it's a good watch.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would definitely go see it. Do not movie pass on it. Definitely see it.
I would say if you like the first one, definitely go see it. And if not, I'm not going to give it a movie pass, but I might say wait for Redbox.
Yeah.
On it.
Yes.
So, and then the third movie that you and I collectively have seen together, and then we're going to get into some movies that I've seen, and I'm going to give just a little bit of info on it, in my opinion, and then do a little Q&A if you want to jump in and ask any questions.
That's how lazy I am. You know, we have a list of movies to watch, and I've just watched the three more popular ones out of them. And I just said, yeah, I guess I'll watch the other ones, huh?
Yeah.
I'll give my side opinion.
Yeah. I'll get there. I'll get there.
No, I'm not. I'm kidding. I'm not that lazy. I just haven't. I didn't get my movie pass.
Exactly. Dude. Yeah. But you've been a trooper, man, because you've only had your movie pass for a couple weeks and you've already mm-hmm. scoped out quite a few films. So mm-hmm. not too shabby. Third movie. One. Another one I feel like everybody is excited for. And most people, I'm sure, have seen already. And if not.
Yeah, it's only been out 3 weeks and I'm sure.
Yeah. Most of you seen it.
Yeah.
We're talking about Thor Ragnarok. So Team Will Smith has spoken on Kingsman Golden Circle, and now it's time for Thor Ragnarok, starring, of course, Chris Hemsworth and his abs.
And his abs in all their glory.
And his abs in all their glory. Thor Ragnarok. Okay. This might be...
Where to start?
This might be a shocking opinion to you guys. I'm going to start out... Oh, you know what? You start out. You give your... It's your turn. You give your thoughts on Thor.
How about this? I feel like you got a lot of things to say that aren't necessarily positive. I'll just do a lot of pros, and you can just throw out some of your cons. I'm not going to agree or disagree.
Yeah, that sounds good.
I thought it was completely out of Marvel's usual element going towards the Guardians of the Galaxy type. You know, like just kind of funny, very comedic in its way. The graphics and the CGI, everything that you see in this movie is beautiful, in my opinion. The acting's always great. Chris Hemsworth's great. Loki. Tom Hiddleston. I knew it. Tom Hiddleston's great. Anthony Hopkins makes a slight appearance. He's great.
And who doesn't love Anthony Hopkins?
Who doesn't love Anthony Hopkins? And then what's that goddamn it name? Cate Blanchett.
Cate Blanchett.
She is great, too.
Yeah,
she is phenomenal.
What a fantastic actress!
Yeah, the cast itself. Mark
Ruffalo. Yeah. Bam.
Idris Elba has like you know 20,
Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yeah, Doctor Strange makes a little appearance. Not a spoiler. I mean, it's not you know.
And the big one, Jeff Goldblum.
Yes, you know. And I thought he was phenomenal.
I think that Jeff Goldblum stole the show.
Yes, for every scene that he was in, he was great. And absolutely. There is also a character who is entirely made out of rocks, who is the funniest damn thing.
Korg.
Oh my god, every time he was on screen I lost my shit.
He's voiced by the director.
Is he really?
Yes. And the director has a very New Zealand name. His last name is like Watiti or something.
Yeah, like Takalo or Watiti or something. Yeah. Some weird. That's him.
Yes, that's the voice.
I did not know that.
The voice makes it for me. It reminded me so much of Murray from Flight of the Conchords.
Yeah.
Did you ever watch Flight of the Conchords?
Yeah, I watched the first season, yeah, on HBO.
It reminded me so much of their manager, Murray.
Yeah.
So, if you haven't seen it yet, but you know who Murray from Flight of the Conchords is, that's basically what the character of Korg sounds like. Hilarious and steals almost every scene that he's in.
Yeah, it was great. He was great. The dynamic between Thor and Hulk is phenomenal. They have a better friendship in this one, obviously. I don't have many qualms with it. I know you probably got a few that I can probably agree with or disagree with. I think the weird part is how it begins and then it comes full circle. That was the only weird part. It was a great story, how it happens. But at the time, I was like, why are they showing me this? And then like when you get to the end, you're like, that's why.
Because it's about to come full circle.
Yeah, it's great. Besides that, I don't have anything negative.
Really. You know, personally, I'm not going to say that I have a lot of negative comments about it, but here's my thing about Thor Ragnarok. I found it to be a highly enjoyable film in many aspects. There are certain things, though, that I didn't necessarily agree with. Now, I understand how popular Guardians of the Galaxy is.
Yeah, crazy popular now.
And how popular Guardians of the Galaxy 2 was. Mm-hmm. And I think that dynamic works so well for Guardians of the Galaxy. It works so well for Star-Lord to be like that.
For Chris Pratt and for Bradley Cooper.
And all that sort of thing. And Zoe Saldana and everybody to have that kind of dynamic. Mm-hmm. It's fantastic. I just don't necessarily agree with taking that template and then putting it on Thor.
Yeah.
Because now where Thor might have had, you know, a couple quips here and there, you know, and like the first one, it's like, oh, I enjoy this. Give me more. And then smashing the coffee cup, you know, having some moments of comedy. Now Thor is hitting one-liners.
Yeah.
Almost in
every scene.
Every part. Yes. In every scene. And then there's several of them. Also to the, and honestly, I don't think I would mind it so much if it was Thor. But it's Thor, and it's Loki.
Yeah.
And it's Cate Blanchett, who's the villain.
And it's the Hulk.
And it's the Hulk. And it's Valkyrie. and it's Jeff Goldblum, and it's everyone else has basically, you know, one-liners. And Korg has comedy relief. Now, that's perfect if you come in to see a comedy, and I think Thor Ragnarok,
it should be labeled as a comedy.
Right.
I think it should be. The way that it was, like, the way that you watched the movie. The way when you walk out, you feel like that was a comedy.
Right. And maybe that's on me for just having a different expectation of the movie, but mm-hmm. I thought that they could have, in many ways, taken it a little bit more seriously.
Yes, I agree.
Also, I thought that the Hulk, the Hulk is easily my least favorite
of the Avengers
and one of my least favorite superheroes.
Period.
Yeah. I like Dr. Bruce Banner or Dr. David Banner. If you were watching the 70s show, they changed his name to David because they thought Bruce sounded too gay.
Back in the 70s.
I don't know if you know that, but that's true.
It's 2017. We don't give a shit now, baby.
That's true. But so anyway, Dr. Bruce Banner. I like Dr. Banner. Bruce Banner. I just, when he's Hulk, he has just like this kind of big, dumb, brooding quality that, I don't know, it's not my favorite.
They make him a big, dumb brute.
You right, know, that's exactly.
Like in layman's terms, like he just walks around and he's says just a
brutish,
dumb shit.
Yeah, yeah. Brutish character, yeah. And his intelligence, all that sort of thing, goes out the window. I think that in this movie, while some of the fight scenes and things like that were really cool, mm-hmm. I think that they played on that even like too much, where he was almost like the Hulk's equivalent was like a 3-year-old child.
Yeah.
In many scenes.
Yeah.
Also too, a couple things that kill me about Mark Ruffalo is he always acts with his like lip out.
Oh my God.
And
it, have like, you seen Spotlight?
Oh yeah. It just looks
fucking worst.
It just looks like he's got like a busted lip.
And he's a great actor. That's the
fantastic
thing.
Fantastic actor.
I can't believe, yeah, it's like he's trying to have like
a busted lip. Bottom lip, yeah. I don't quite get that. But see, I think that, like, okay, so with the comedy aspect of it, I think that if it were just centralized to Jeff Goldblum, and Korg, mm-hmm. and then...
Or even in the trailers, they didn't... I mean, it said one liners in the trailers, but you don't think that you're to yourself that you're going to go in there and watch a comedy. You think it's going to be what usually happens in Thor movie. You think it's going to be, like, crazy action, the storyline's going to be in-depth, which it was, but you don't think that everyone's going to have these one-liners.
Yeah, I didn't think that there was just going to be so much of it.
Yeah.
So that kind of turned me off a little bit about it. I thought that the CG in some parts was really beautiful, mm-hmm. especially the Valkyrie backstory scene where you see just all the warriors on Pegasus.
And, that was crazy good.
And absolutely fantastic looking. I do feel that sometimes, though, in some of the fight scenes, especially there was a scene where Kate Blanchett's character is taking out a few people on Asgard. We'll take you back to Asberg or Asville or wherever you came from. That's probably the best line in the movie.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, guys. That's a great line. Maybe the best line in the movie.
We'll take you back to Asberg.
Yeah, we'll take you back to Asgard, Asberg, Asville, wherever you're from.
That was funny.
But there's a scene where she's like fighting off a few people, and it literally, the CG looked so, it kind of reminded me of like when Neo fought all those Agent Smiths in the second Matrix. Uh-huh. I was like, this looks kind of crappy.
Yeah.
And then in other times, the CG just completely blows me away.
It's like their budget, they didn't know exactly how to move it correctly.
Yeah. I feel like in the fast moving scenes, maybe they could get away with more, and then like the more slow motion, slow building scenes, they took a lot more time and effort into it. But yeah, so those would be the cons for me, I guess, is that I think a little too much comedy. I could have spent a little bit more time on developing the story a little bit. Mm-hmm. So yeah, those are going to be the cons. But allow me to also not just shit all over this movie, because here's the big...
there's a lot to not shit on it about.
Yeah, the big pros of the movie for me are... Jeff Goldblum's character.
Great.
And Korg.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. I thought that Cate Blanchett was good. I don't feel like they... I went back into con territory here. I just don't feel like they developed her character enough.
No, I agree with that. And it kind of confused me whenever you first hear it. You're like, what? How does that... What? And then, but then, like, after a while, you're like, oh, okay, I get it. And I thought, you know what's crazy? I didn't realize how good she still looks.
Honestly, I think that they might have CG'd her a bit. And the reason why I say that, I mean, obviously they CG'd her helmet and things like that.
Well, yeah.
But when I first saw
her face was her, like her smooth as baby's bottom. There's no way. She's like 57 or something years old.
I mean, the way I saw it, I was like, when I first saw the movie, I had no idea that Kate Blanchett was in it. Mm. And I saw this, the girl, you know, the evil sister. And I'm like, man, whoever this actress is reminds me so much of Kate Blanchett, but she's younger. She's like a younger version of Kate Blanchett. And then it turns out that it was her. And I was like,
you're like, that fucking was Kate Blanchett. I was like,
holy shit. Kate, either you're looking fantastic still, yeah, and I got to give you big ups. Were they CG, and even if they did put some CG on you?
The editors need a big old high five because they did great.
They killed it. They knocked that out of the park.
She looked good.
Also, a big pro for me is the coloring. I felt like they went to a 1970s Marvel era feel with
the music, too.
And the Technicolor coloring, when you get the reds and the blues and all that sort of thing, and it's not... It just kind of had a real throwback vibe to it. Mm-hmm. And then the biggest pro for me is the fact that they got Immigrant Song from Led Zeppelin in this movie. Led Zeppelin doesn't put their rights out to anybody.
Yeah.
And they got Immigrant Song.
Yeah. We're Marvel. We'll buy where you live.
Yes. We're Disney.
We're
Disney. own your record catalog already.
Yeah. We'll buy your continent and make you do it. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
We can do that. You know Disney's going to buy Fox?
That's what I heard.
It's crazy.
Maybe we'll be getting some actual Marvel X-Men movies.
Yeah, that's what I said. They want to buy Fox as soon as Hugh Jackman says, I'm not doing Wolverine no more.
You know, this might be an unpopular opinion.
Shut the hell up.
This might be an unpopular opinion.
Shh.
But I feel
that
in many ways, the X-Men First Class movies, so First Class, Apocalypse, and Days of Future Past, and then... It looks like that new Dark Phoenix movie might be tight. I don't know. But I feel that those are done very well. And I also feel that those four movies...
Oh, you didn't go to where I thought you were going.
Or I should say those three movies that I've seen are better... This is where it's going to get weird.
Than the original trilogy?
No. I feel like those... Well, yes. I think that they're better than the original trilogy. But I think that those three movies by Fox of X-Men are better than any three movies... from the Marvel Universe that Disney or Marvel has done.
When did that start?
With the exception of maybe... Because, I mean, Marvel knocked it out of the park with Iron Man. They had all their eggs in one basket. Knocked it out of the park with Iron Man.
See, there's one problem I have with your little theory. Is that the original Avengers was the best movie...
See, I disagree.
...ever that came out.
I disagree.
From, like that point. You know what I'm saying?
I didn't like Avengers that much. I liked Iron Man 1 a lot more than I liked Avengers.
What?
Just saying.
I don't like Avengers 2.
Yeah. Well, either way, we're getting off topic there.
Yeah, we are.
But, so, did you do your pros and cons? Let's just do your short list of pros and cons.
Pros and cons? Cons, the story was a little weird, but it makes sense in the end. I know it's not a very good one, but I don't have many cons. Pros, looks beautiful. Jeff Goldblum's great. Chris Hemsworth's great. The Valkyrie's great. Kate Blanchett's great. I feel like, here's a con. I feel like if they were going to be funny, they should have left it to be... Like the Hulk being funny.
Yeah, or Jeff Goldblum being funny.
Yeah. Besides that, I think it's great, solid solid 9.
Giving it a 9 out of 10?
Yeah. I got one con, that's it.
John Wilmot spoken. Well, I'm going to give it a 7.5 out of 10.
No.
To me, I feel like it was good. It was just a little lacking in depth for me. And I also felt like some of the... funniness could have been more focused and not going to because at some point it almost is like an Anchorman territory for me.
Yeah.
I was just like, okay, man.
I get that.
Didn't see that. So, but yeah, would you say watch? Obviously, you're going to say watch it. You gave it a 9 out of 10.
Yeah, go see it tonight. Go see it right now. Go see it wherever you are in the world. Go see it right now. That's my opinion.
I'm going to say also go see it. If you have kids, they're going to love it.
Oh, for sure.
If I was a kid, I probably would have given it a higher score, maybe. I don't know. But I would definitely say if you have kids, the kids are going to absolutely love this one.
It's great.
And if you're a Marvel fan, you're going to love it too.
Yeah.
Because as much as I kind of crapped on some certain parts of Thor, I would say it's the best of the three.
Really?
Thor movies.
I don't know. Dark World wasn't that good, but the original was pretty good. I think Thor was pretty...
The tables have turned. I think Ragnarok is better than the first one.
Mm.
First one I would have given a nice 6 out of 10.
I just like Natalie Portman.
Oh, there you go. All right. Well, so those are the three that we've seen together. And then I'm going to briefly touch on three more that are out and give you a quick my opinion. This is Sean's corner, I guess, of the podcast. First movie I'm going to talk about here, and this is as much as I shit on Thor, then I'm going to go and talk about the movie that, you know what? I'm going to save it for last. I'm going to talk about Murder. I'm going to talk about Murder on the Orient Express.
You're going to shit on something harder, weren't you?
Here's the deal. Murder on the Orient Express. Went and saw that, and first off...
Oh, Johnny Depp's in that, isn't he?
Johnny Depp is in it. And I've seen the trailers for it before a few movies that we went that, you know, are on this list. I think I saw the trailer for it before It, mm-hmm. actually. And
it was definitely the one before Thor.
Yeah, there you go. But Johnny Depp is in it. You got Michelle Pfeiffer is in it. You've got the guy that does the voice of Olaf in Frozen.
Josh Gad.
Yeah, there you go. Penelope Cruz, Willem Dafoe. Fantastic cast.
Yeah, that's a pretty good cast. You looked on paper, you're like, that's a good movie.
Yeah. And they got, you know, I can't ever think of his name, but he's an accomplished Shakespearean actor that is our main character here. Now, I thought that they were going to do kind of a different take on Murder on the Orient Express. So shame on me for having some false expectations, but I thought that they would have played it a little bit quirky, you know, a little bit more Hollywood. You got an all-star cast. A lot of them are really hot right now as comedic actors. A lot of them have done comedy in the past. You haven't seen Michelle Pfeiffer in a hot second.
Was the main guy's name Hercule?
Yes. Hercule Poirot.
Kenneth Branagh. Who the fuck is that?
He's a Shakespearean actor, my friend.
Daisy Ridley's in this, too.
Oh, and Daisy Ridley, yes, from Star Wars, which I actually thought Daisy Ridley was Keira Knightley for a little bit. I was like, man, did Keira Knightley get like a wider face? Whiter.
I know who this guy is now. He looks like Ewan McGregor.
Yeah. So, yeah, Daisy Ridley, great in that movie, by the way. Very good. Casting is great. A lot of great stars in it. I just thought it would be a little bit more quirky, a little bit more family-friendly, a little bit more lighthearted fare for the holidays. It's not.
It's called Murder.
Yep.
On the Orient Express.
I get that. But for some reason, with the trailer that I saw, I thought it was going to be a little bit more, maybe just like more murder mystery, like something that's a little bit more lighthearted in nature.
Like Clue?
Yeah. Well, not so much to that extent. But honestly, it was not what I was expecting. It was a very dry movie.
I don't like that.
And that was my thing is... I would not say that it was slow because it wasn't even a very long movie, maybe an hour and a half tops,
yeah.
You know, hour and 40 minutes maybe. The first 20, 30 minutes was kind of dry. You got your main character. Kenneth Branagh is speaking in a French accent. Of course, Hercule Poirot is a French detective, the greatest French detective. But if there's one thing is when somebody's struggling through a French accent and they're just speaking English it's not my thing.
Franglish.
It is not my thing.
Yeah.
And then, you know, once I think I kind of came to terms with, okay, this is not what I was expecting and the action started to pick up, it became a much more enjoyable movie and you kind of get sucked in probably within the first 35 minutes, once you can get through the first 35 minutes, the movie is quite enjoyable.
So after the first half hour, you're just like, I want to shoot myself.
Spoiler alert, guys. Once the murder happens, that's when it actually picks up and it gets interesting.
Okay, I see what you're saying. So that was what your opinion was.
Yeah.
Okay, so you think that once the murder, you're like, oh, this is going to be a whodunit kind of movie.
Yeah,
like a family-friendly.
Exactly. Exactly. That's I thought it would just be more like, hey, you know. And I thought the characters would be quirky because you got like some characters that have some,
quirkiness to them.
Quirkiness to them and some comedy chops and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, first 20, 30 minutes, pretty dry. And then business starts to pick up there. Just wasn't what I was expecting.
You're making me want to go see it, though.
On that. I would say I'm going to give it a 6.75 out of 10.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that it's probably the lowest ranked movie on the list here.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, you said you're going to shit on somebody else earlier.
Yeah. Don't worry. No, I was going to shit on, I just said, because I was shitting on Thor, I was going to go into my favorite movie. This is not it. I'm just going to continue to shit on something for a second. Pros of this is 35 minutes in, it's the story's going to pick up. Big pro for me, Daisy Ridley is fantastic in it. Michelle Pfeiffer, even Johnny Depp has a, Johnny Depp is an actor that I can give a fuck less about.
Yeah.
And these days, he turns in a pretty good performance. Everybody turns in a pretty good performance. Cons, a English-speaking man in a French accent. Big con. First 30 minutes, pretty dry. Not con, not what I was expecting. Shame on me for that.
Yeah.
So
how dare you have expectations?
Exactly. Should you go see it? I would say go ahead and go see it. To me, you could probably wait. And go see it for the cinematics, because some of the backgrounds are nice whenever you do see them briefly. Maybe that's worth going to see it in the theater.
Where's it based out of?
Otherwise, it's based out of, they're going from Istanbul to somewhere else on the Orient Express. So
it could look pretty good.
So it's got some pretty cool cinematics. I would say you could be just as thrilled watching it in the comfort of your own home. So I wouldn't say movie pass. I would say go see it, but also maybe wait for Redbox.
Yeah. Go see it, but if you don't, yeah, it happens.
Yes. Second movie I'm going to talk about that I went and saw solo. I went and saw Bad Moms Christmas.
I was going to add, I didn't ask you the other day if you went and saw it solo, because I don't want to be like a dickhead.
I didn't see it solo. I'm just saying I didn't see it with you.
Oh, okay. I would say, all right, good. All right, you worried me. I was there's a few movies I think that I would not go see by myself. That might be like Grease. I'm not going to see that by myself in any setting.
Bad Moms Christmas was great because I went and saw it with with Critty. Shout out to Critty again.
Yeah.
And his fiance, Cassie. Shout out to Cassie. And so the three of us went and saw it. And Critty and I were the only men in the theater. And it was packed with women aged, you know, 16 to 70.
Yeah.
And I would say, if you've seen the first one, did you ever see Bad Moms?
Yeah, I saw it with my girlfriend probably about a month and a half ago.
Sure. If you've seen the first one, I think that this one was better than the first one.
Really?
It was extremely funny, in my opinion. I thought it was very funny. I think some of the scenes and laughs, again, I'm not going to spoil it. I would just say go see it. It's a 90-minute long movie.
Yeah.
It's got Mila Kunis in it. It's got Kristen Bell, who's one of my personal faves. Love Kristen Bell. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, basically their moms come for Christmas. So the mothers, Susan Sarandon, and a couple of the other women. And
oh, yeah. Who's the other mother? I feel like I've seen the preview and I was like, oh, wait.
I can't ever remember her name, but I remember her from a lot of movies.
Was it Bette Midler?
No.
No, what?
It's the lady that plays Mary Martin Granger from Addams Family Values, and she's been in a ton of other things, but for some reason
that's the one you know.
That's the one that I always remember. But the dynamic of the grandmothers, the dynamic of the mothers, absolutely fantastic casting, way funnier than I would have ever expected it to be. I'm giving this one, guys, 9 out of 10.
What?
9 out of 10.
Oh, my God.
I would definitely say go see it.
You know what? You were right. I am going to learn a lot about your movies.
You will. I would definitely say go see it. Very funny. It's funny for the holidays. I mean, 'tis the season.
Yeah.
And
I haven't seen this, just to being a guy that's had a girlfriend for, 5 to 6 years, it's something to take
her out. Cool brag.
It's something to take her out. You know, maybe you'll enjoy it, but you know that she'll probably enjoy it, especially if you've seen the first one, like you said. So, I mean, it's a nice little date night movie.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, and Bad Moms, too. Like, to me, this is like, this really is truly like the female Hangover. It's actually, I think, written by the same guy that did The Hangover. So that kind of dynamic, that kind of outrageousness is in the original Bad Moms, and they actually just upped it. And it's better than the sequel is in my opinion, better than the original. They did a really great job.
Is that same bitch in there, Lake Bell? She was the crazy one in the first one.
Kristen Bell?
No, there's another. I don't think her name is Lake Bell. No, Kristen Bell. Yeah, I know who you're talking about. No, the other one. The one that had the son that she didn't ever want to fucking see.
Yeah, she's in it too. And I can't ever remember her name. She's on Saturday Night Live. She's also from Step Brothers.
Yeah.
She's the crazy wife in Step Brothers. Yeah. Of.
I want to stick you in my vagina.
Yeah, exactly. She's playing a very, not much different character, really. She's just outlandish. But yeah,
that's her. That's her. She's typecast as shit for that role.
Exactly. But yeah, I would say if you have if anybody should go see it, especially, you know, if you're female, go see it. If you have a girlfriend or a significant other, or your parents like to watch movies that are mature because they're adults too.
Yeah,
whatever. This is a funny movie. I would definitely recommend checking it out. I'm giving it a 9 out of 10.
That's crazy.
On my list here, and so yeah. And do I say movie pass? I say nay. No. Go see it in the theater.
Use your movie pass to go see it more than once, apparently.
Exactly. I only saw it once. So.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, maybe other people want
definitely
to see it.
Definitely want it. Tis the season, too, guys. You're not going to get, I mean, you can go see that, or you can go see The Star, or.
What?
That's a Christmas movie. Where,
I was like, there's a movie coming out?
Yeah, it's like Nestor the Long-Eared Donkey, but CG'd and updated and about the nativity. Whatever.
Nestor the Long-Eared. What the fuck?
Nestor the Long-Eared Donkey.
I've never.
Don't watch it. It's old school and it's really sad. No, so it's claymation and it's super sad.
Claymation is sad.
Yeah. So this is even worse.
How much work that takes? You don't know, whatever.
That's what I'm saying. And the last movie.
This is your baby.
This is it.
Your child.
This is it, guys. This is the movie I waited all year for. I'm talking about Blade Runner 2049. Whoop, 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 whoop. Everybody loves their Marvel movies. Everybody loves their Star Wars movies. I love Blade Runner. It's my favorite movie of all time. And the fact that they made a sequel, I didn't know what to think about it because there's one thing that I don't like, and that's a sequel, except for Bad Moms Christmas, apparently.
Yeah.
But here's the deal. I could not recommend this movie enough. It's going to be the highest ranked movie on this list. Blade Runner 2049, I can't even really tell you about the story too much because it is going to be...
There's a lot, apparently.
A huge spoiler, okay? And that's the thing. Like, the trailer doesn't even really show you what it's about other than you're in this world.
You were trying to explain to me about, like, how you don't need to see the first one to see this one entirely. But I feel like there are a lot of people out me that might listen to this, like me. Like, I gotta know what's... Yeah. Like, I gotta know from scratch. Like, I wanna know what everybody knows.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Blade Runner 2049, I will say this. It is very much a standalone movie in the Blade Runner universe.
I've actually heard that.
Which Blade Runner takes place in 2019, Los Angeles.
Yeah.
This is Los Angeles 2049. The backstory is there are replicants, which are androids. Mm-hmm. It's, I guess, androids, maybe 3D printed, like on Westworld, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They're synthetic humans, actually. So they have synthetic skin, they have synthetic organs, they have synthetic bones.
Mm-hmm.
They are synthetic humans that are made. They're called replicants. When these replicants get out of control, they have to be retired. The people that retire them are called Blade Runners. Okay. You'll get that in the opening crawl of the original movie. You'll get that in the opening crawl of the new movie in so many words. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So big thing here is big pros for me is Ryan Gosling's performance. Fantastic in it. He does a lot of acting without speaking, which I feel is
extremely hard to do, I feel like.
Yes, very much. He portrays so much just through his eyes, just through his emotions. The cinematics are fantastic in this. I would say the fact that it's already out of the theater is a fucking shame to me because this is the movie to go see in the theater.
Yeah.
If you could go see it in fucking IMAX, Go see it.
Yeah.
Don't see shit in 3D, okay?
Yeah, I hate that.
I'm getting so passionate, I'm cussing. This is a part of the podcast where I'm cussing.
Well, plus MoviePass, you can't see 3D anyway, so
who
really gives a shit?
Yeah, that's true. 3D is a joke, bro. But the cinematics are absolutely fantastic, gorgeous. The plot is deep. If you are a person that doesn't like to think when you watch a movie, that doesn't like to unravel the story yourself, or after the movie's over, think about it and kind of put the pieces together, this might not be a movie for you because that's exactly what Blade Runner, the first one and this one is. I feel
you
like
you should be a salesman because I right now, if I didn't have to fucking work tomorrow, I wouldn't care. I'd go home and I would find a website.
There you go. But I would definitely say this is a thinking man's movie and the themes in Blade Runner run really deep, okay? Themes like what is it to be real? Not to be a real human versus being a replicant.
Not to breathe, like to breathe.
And now there's even in this one, there are humans, there are replicants, And then they are now holograms. Mm. And they all exist in this world, and they all are interacting with each other. What's the difference? Like, they're all together. Why is one more real than the other? Mm-hmm. Do you know what I'm saying? I guess that's kind of a deep thought to think about. But this is kind of the stuff that Blade Runner is.
I love that shit. Like, yeah. And like The Revenant. Like, there's a lot of things that you have to think about. Like, what would you do? How would you take it?
Exactly.
You know, that's, I love that shit.
And just the fact that, like, what makes somebody real? Mm-hmm. If someone is interacting, and if someone is respirating, and someone is thinking, and someone is feeling, but they are synthetically made, are they real?
Yeah.
Or, like, do thoughts make someone real?
Yeah, what makes you real? A soul? You know?
Exactly, soul. And that's actually a thing in the movie. You know, that's actually kind of a thing in the movie. So it's deep. I would say the performances are fantastic. Ryan Gosling, Harrison Ford's in it quite a bit more than I thought. Jared Leto, another actor that I could not fucking care any less about, kills it in this movie. And I got to give him credit.
Why don't you like Jared Leto?
He's a shit actor, man.
What the fuck? He's got an Oscar.
So Johnny Depp, Jared Leto, I've seen your tricks. You're one trick ponies. I've seen your shit. Okay. So here's the deal. Jared Leto kills it in this movie. So I got to give credit where credit's due. Jared Leto.
You know, he really couldn't fucking see.
I know that.
That's crazy.
He went method.
Yeah.
So, I'm trying to think, Robin Wright. I almost called her Robin Wright Penn. She hasn't been pinned in a while. So Robin Wright is in it. She puts on a great performance. You might know her from House of Cards. The First Lady.
No, I've not watched House of Cards.
Oh, spoiler alert.
That's not going to make
sense. Anyway, you might know her as Jenny from Forrest Gump. Mm. There you go. Puts in a great performance. The character of Joy is maybe a big standout to me. And if you see the movie, you'll see there's an elaborate love scene, mm-hmm, in it. And I don't want to give too much away, but it's cinematic excellence. How they did this,
beyond you,
is, yeah, I mean, it's just fantastic. And the director, Denis Villeneuve, he's done Arrival.
Did he do that?
He did Arrival.
I was about to say, he was a relatively new director-ish.
He's done Prisoners. He's done Arrival. He did Blade Runner 2049.
This is his first more than one word movie.
Yeah, and then he's cast to do the new Dune remake, which Dune is my favorite science fiction book series ever. So I'm stoked. I
feel like you're gonna love this guy for the rest of your life.
Exactly.
Like, this is gonna be your Scorsese.
He might be my new Nolan.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Christopher Nolan was like that for me. Scorsese is like that for me too.
Yeah. He can't be mine or Tarantino.
Oh, I love Tarantino also. Mm-hmm. But pros, definitely go see it for the cinematics. Definitely go see it for the themes. The special effects work that they do looks so good. So many practical effects. It's not littered down with a ton of CG. And the CG that they do have is done so, so well. Mm-hmm. And it's so fitting to it. Story is fantastic. It's such a faithful sequel. It exceeded all of my expectations.
And that you're an avid lover of the movie.
Yes.
Of the original. So that makes
Blade Runner is my favorite. And I went into it thinking I am super worried.
Yeah.
And literally it exceeded all expectations. Loved it.
I'm trying to feel like, how have I felt about a movie like that? I don't think I have. I don't think I've ever been like worried. You know what I'm saying? Like, for a movie that's like so close to home. You know? I don't think I've ever had that problem. Maybe the new Star Wars trilogy, like, oh shit, this might suck.
Right.
But no.
Yeah. And then cons. My only con that I would say to you is, if you're not a fan of long movies, this movie is not the longest movie I've seen by any stretch of the imagination. It's about 15 minutes longer than Thor Ragnarok. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people complained about length. It's about 2 hours and 40 minutes.
Yeah.
So if that scares you away, that might be a con.
If you can sit through the last two Harry Potter movies, you can sit through this.
Exactly.
You know? And everyone that's listening has watched every Harry Potter movie. Right. I know.
And it's such a beautiful experience, such an awesome adventure. You're going to be able to sit through it, no problem, I think. Mm-hmm. Also, too, though, I mean, And this is no offense to anybody, but if your taste in movies is more popcorn fare, if your taste in movies is I want to have some dazzling CG and some action and then call it a day, this might not be for you. The CG is beautiful. The action's great, but it's just paced differently. The themes are different. It's kind of a dark, deep film. Final verdict, definitely go see it. It's out of the fucking theater now, which is a travesty. So go rent it, go download it, go do whatever you got to do. 9.75
out of 10.
Out of 10.
That's crazy.
Did not give it a perfect 10 because I'm saving it maybe. I don't know for what, but 9.75 out
There's only one perfect film in my opinion ever.
Which would be?
Shawshank Redemption.
Oh, I like that. That's actually in probably my top five favorites.
Yeah. That, to me, that's a personal opinion, obviously. That only movie that has no flaw.
I gotcha. I could see that, man.
Yeah.
Who doesn't love Tim Robbins and Morgan Freeman and Raquel Welch? All right. And then, yeah. So as we're wrapping it up here, I want to talk about our kind of our first thoughts on some trailers that we've seen for movies that are coming up. Let's get some of the BS ones out of the way. Okay. We're talking about The Greatest Showman. Yeah. With Hugh Jackman and Zendaya.
It looks to me personally like they're trying to do a Water for Elephants.
It's exactly what I thought.
Kind of.
Yeah. Water for Elephants, just not that cool. And you're going to CG every animal in the circus.
Yeah, exactly. And Water for Elephants to me, Water for Elephants.
Love the movie. Love the book. I read the book too before.
I read the book. But Christoph Waltz is great in it.
Who doesn't love Christoph Waltz?
Robert
Pattinson, dude.
Yeah, I fucking hate him. But he was all right.
He's your Jared Leto. He's your Johnny Depp.
No. I don't know how you talk.
I think that guy's probably got some acting skill, but unfortunately, that dude's been just like your Edward Cullen for the rest of your life.
He's been typecast.
And you know that guy hates it, too. Oh, I feel like he's like, dude, I fucking hate this.
He's got to hate it. That's why I saw Water for Elephants. I was like, you're not just Edward.
You know what? You've got some range, bro.
You're going places. You can do some shit.
You can do some shit.
I got hope for you. But yeah, it looks just like a knockoff of that.
The Greatest Showman. Would you see it?
No. I'm a pass on that.
Yeah.
I'm a movie pass on that.
Here's the deal. We'll probably end up going to see it, but I guess the real question is, would you see it if you couldn't see it with your movie pass, if you had to pay $12.90?
I would wait until my girlfriend said, man, let's rent this from Redbox.
Yeah, I definitely would not be spending
$12.90
on it.
Nope. Hell no.
Second trailer, Jumanji.
Jumanji.
We got Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Kevin Hart, Jack Black.
Jack Black, I always forget about that. Hey, you know what's crazy? The Rock really hasn't done me much wrong. Watching movies that he's been in.
Who doesn't love The Rock, man? He's so charismatic.
I loved Central Intelligence. I loved him in Fast 7 and Fast and
I think he's a fantastic asset to the Fast and the Furious franchise.
Yeah, and the Fastest and the Furious.
That some bitch.
Yeah.
That's his big line.
Oh, is it? Oh, yeah. Yeah, you some bitch.
Yeah. Dude, and the game plan. If you haven't seen Disney's The Game Plan where he's like an arena football player and he finds out he's got a kid. Dwayne The Rock Johnson, dude. Super charismatic.
Same shit with the Tooth Fairy. God, he had some awful fucking roles as an early starter, didn't he?
Game Plan's better than the Tooth Fairy.
No, I mean, it better be. Sure. The Tooth Fairy might be down there on the bottom of the list.
Absolutely. I would say The Rock's best performance, Pain and Gain.
Yeah, he loved was really Pain good in that. He was really good.
That's such a well-done movie.
Him and Marky Mark.
Yeah, fantastic.
I'm not going to.
I would say Jumanji, though, looked way funnier than I ever thought. Like, when I heard there was going to be a Jumanji remake, I was like, this is going to be fucking dumb.
Yeah.
Didn't care. Saw the trailer. Saw it a couple times because it's like actually played in front of a few of these movies. Mm-hmm. And I was like, shit, man, this could be kind of funny.
Yeah. It could be. That's probably a big fear of mine. Is like, it could be great. It could be like exceed my expectations, or it could be fucking garbage.
Right. Exactly.
It could be horrible. But with Kevin Hart and The Rock, their chemistry is so good.
And Jack Black.
Yeah, you feel like they can't go that wrong.
They've kind of updated it. It's not a board game anymore. It's a video game. Mm-hmm. They have like, basically the thing is they're like four kids, high school kids,
in detention or some bullshit.
Yeah. And, there's like the jock, there's the girly girl, there's the, I guess maybe a nerdy girl or more like regular girl. There's a more nerdy kid, and then when they get sucked into the game, it's like the nerdy kid is now played by The Rock, and the jock is now played by Kevin Hart, and the girl that's obsessed with her phone is played by Jack Black.
Yeah, and then the girl that was like not shit is played by the same girl that plays one of the evil, not Gamora, but her sister in Guardians. What is that fucking?
whatever. We'll get more professional as this series, this MoviePass podcast series goes on. So we'll make. Don't worry. Don't beat yourself up about it, bro.
I'm going because as soon as we get done talking about it, I'm gonna remember it and I'll be pissed.
That's okay, guys. If you know her name, just go ahead and send us an email, SeanVersusWild@gmail.com, or just comment on this Facebook, and you let us know, what is Gamora's sister in Guardians, and who is that actress? That's also in Jumanji.
It's going to piss me the fuck off.
All right, here's the deal. Jumanji, would you go see it with a movie pass?
I'll go see it, yeah.
Would you pay $12.90 for it?
Once.
Okay. I would say yes, I would go see it. Absolutely.
I'd say once not seeing it because I might. It depends, you know, to be determined, I guess.
I would 150%. I will definitely be going to see Jumanji, the remake, with my movie pass.
Yes.
Had I not had it, would I pay $12.90 for it? Probably not.
Yeah, probably not.
But when you have movie pass, you can go see even the shittiest things.
That's the best part of it.
But to me, I'm excited for it. 150%. I'm going to go see it.
And I think the last...
The last one on the list is a big one, bro.
Mm-hmm.
It's the biggest one. I'm talking about, it's not really the biggest one because we forgot. There's going to be Black Panther coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see the trailer? You saw the trailer for that already?
I've seen two, I think.
Yeah. That's going to be tight. I don't know much about Black Panther, the hero.
Mm-hmm.
I do know Wesley Snipes was supposed to play Black Panther several times over the last couple decades. And now they've got...
That'd be cool.
Yeah. Now, is it... Michael B. Jordan that's playing Black Panther?
No, he's playing the villain.
The villain, okay.
What is that dude's name? See, here we go again with this shit.
We'll get more professional, guys. Don't sweat it. You let us know you let us know Black Panther's name as well.
I can't remember his name, but I know
Chip. I thought it looked fantastic.
Yeah, it does. It looks really great. And that's by, I don't know, that one's by a, no, because the female director was for Wonder Woman, yeah. This one's by a newer type of director, and yeah, it looks pretty good. I think it's an all-black cast besides evil guy
Andy Serkis.
Yeah, Andy Serkis. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I think he's the only white character in the movie.
I thought that the trailer that I saw made it look really fantastic. I don't know anything about Black Panther, so I'm going to go into it
wide open.
Mm-hmm. And would I go see it with the movie pass? Yes, I'm definitely going to go see it with the movie pass. And would I go see it without it? I might actually. Yeah, I would say probably.
Did you ever see Civil War?
No, I didn't see Civil War.
Mm. See that one before Black Panther.
Okay.
Because that's where he starts.
Gotcha. What about you? Are you going to go see it?
Yeah, for sure.
Would you go see it without a movie pass?
For sure. Probably more than once.
Team Will Smith has spoken.
Yeah.
All right. Now, this is the big one. This is the biggest one,
yes,
guys. And when this airs, it's only going to be like a week away.
Yeah.
I'm talking fucking Star Wars. The Last Jedi. All right, dude.
Now
you've seen the trailers.
Yeah, more than
I've
once.
I've seen the trailers. Yeah. Everybody's seen the trailers.
Dude, the end of the trailer gets me so hyped, though.
Going into it, maybe The Last Jedi will be like the first one that we sit down and do. Trevor Neely, if you're listening.
Yeah, we got to have him on.
We'll get you on here and we'll have you do your thoughts. Your thoughts on the trailer.
It's great. I think it looks beautiful. I can't wait to see it. I can't wait to see what more they could do. My theory, because there's a lot of different fan theories.
Sure.
My theory is the fact that I think, obviously, from the trailer, looking at it, because we don't know for sure, but Rey, it looks like Rey is going to go to the dark side with Kylo. And I think, in my opinion, it's either going to be Rey flipping Kylo or Kylo being like, hey, I know what I'm doing. I'm on your side. Just fucking come on. You know, like we're going to take him out from inside.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's what's going to happen. But I don't know exactly. But I'm excited to watch it. It looks beautiful.
I'll tell you what, people that know me know Star Wars is, and I have a kind of a strange relationship where I love.
Oh, yeah, you tell me this.
Love New Hope, love Empire, can't fucking stand Return of the Jedi.
So
I think they just really dropped the ball. Then they made Phantom Menace, not into.
Mm-hmm.
Attack of the Clones, almost kind of painful to watch at times.
Fucking hated it.
And then I felt that Revenge of the Sith had some pretty redeeming qualities. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, towards the end, I was like, holy shit. Mm-hmm. Shit's about to happen.
Did you see Force and Rogue?
So I saw Force Awakens. Cinematically, man, I had a great time.
Mm-hmm.
That exceeded all my expectations. I was like, man, this is a Star Wars movie I would have loved to have back in 1999.
That's the same shit I said.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it took, you know,
technology
all that time to see the crap ones to appreciate this one.
Mm-hmm.
But my biggest qualm with it, and I'm sure you've heard this from so many people before, in retrospect, I had a great time when I was watching it, and I felt like they could get away with it. But it is very similar. It's like a reboot of A New Hope.
Oh yeah, I've seen plenty of like columns and shit.
You know what
yeah.
I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I felt like, well, maybe this is just what it needed, man. It's a reboot of New Hope, and I'll forgive it. I'll forgive it for being a reboot of New Hope, having such similarities and stuff, because yeah. they're rebooting the franchise and they're doing some fan service, and I appreciated that. Mm-hmm. Saw Rogue One. I thought Rogue One was okay. Like,
it's a cool little throwaway story, to me, I think.
Yeah, it's a throwaway story. Yeah. I don't think it's a must-see. Mm-hmm. Donnie Yen, I thought, killed it. Love Donnie Yen's character.
Yeah.
The blind assassin mm-hmm. guy. Loved it. Love the robot in it.
I love the main character, too. Felicity.
Yeah.
She was great.
I actually saw her in a movie. That actress is in The Theory of Everything about Stephen Hawking. She's fantastic actress.
Yeah, she did. I saw that. It was so good.
She's a fantastic actress. And then my thing is when I watch the trailer, I'm getting a little worried. And when I say a little worried.
I think I already know what you're going to say.
My thing is, you know, we're seeing the ice planet. We're mm-hmm. seeing the AT-ATs, mm-hmm. reminiscent of Empire, whatever. That doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
She's off training on an island with the last living Jedi, just like Luke does in Empire. Jedi. Not a big deal. Not worrying me too much.
I know where you're going.
Great. And then, you know, it's like Finn is going to, Kylo Ren is going to be like, hey, join me on the dark side. Much for where, you know, Vader is like talking to Luke and he's like, hey, join me. I'm your fucking father.
Yeah.
My thing is if...
What if Kylo turns out to be like her fucking brother?
That's what
some
I'm saying.
Shit?
If Kylo turns out to be her brother, and then if like Finn fucking betrays them all, does like a Lando Calrissian and betrays them all, yeah. I'm going to be like, you know what? I'm never watching another fucking Star Wars movie ever again in my life.
Hey, if they for real pull that shit off, I'm with you, because that's bullshit.
That's what I'm saying.
They're just rewriting the motherfucker.
That's what I'm saying. Now, yeah. granted, this might just be, honestly, that might just be, they want it to look like that in the trailer. They're kind of playing that game to get people riled up to go see it one way or the other.
I can see exactly what you're saying.
But if that happens, if these things happen,
I'm going to be pissed.
I will never go see, yeah. I will never watch another fucking Star Wars movie. I don't care how this new fucking series ends. Yeah. I don't care about the new trilogy that they just fucking signed on to make. I don't give a shit about the Han Solo movie. Yeah. It's over.
Yeah,
it's a wrap for me.
I'm with you, though.
So there's a lot that is riding on this movie for me.
That's like taking the Dark Knight trilogy and then spinning it around to where the story is the same and just throwing new fucking people in.
Yeah.
It's the same concept.
What if I'm like, hey, I'm going to make a Batman trilogy, but the first villain's going to be the Scarecrow, and it's going to be kind of like Long Halloween. And then the second movie, we're going to have the Joker. Mm-hmm. And then in the third movie, we'll have Bane and Catwoman.
Yeah.
But they'll be different actors.
Yeah.
Actually, you know, we'll actually have Catwoman. You know, it's just like even the Star Wars characters are such fucking reminiscent of...
BB-8?
Yeah.
Who the fuck's that? R2?
Exactly. I mean, so many of the characters reminiscent of other characters,
yeah.
and I think that's fine, like, to a certain extent, but you have, and this kind of harkens back to a conversation I had with Juwan on the podcast a long time ago, back in February, but he was saying,
not watching, listening.
He was just saying, you know, you have the greatest writers in the world at your disposal. You have every writer in Hollywood would love to write this new Star Wars movie,
and you can
take it to infinite directions, and you have so many books that you could base it off of, or comic books,
mm-hmm.
or other people's takes on it, and all you did was reboot A New Hope. Like, yeah. that's all you did.
It's crazy to
think
about.
My thing is I will forgive it, but if they just kind of do an Empire on this, I'm going to be bummed.
Here's the thing. I'll watch the end of this trilogy, period. No matter what happens.
And you know what? Damn it. I'll probably fucking watch it too.
Just to know for a fact.
Just to know.
Like, they really did.
Yeah.
You know, if it happens that
you
way.
You went there.
Yeah. Like, if the shit happens in Last Jedi the way that we just thought it was going to happen to, I'd be like, hey, man, y'all are 2 for 2.
And you know what, dude? They're going to laugh all the way to the bank. They pissed me off and they pissed you off. Yeah. But guess what?
We're still going to go see it.
There's millions. Yeah. And there's billions of dollars to be made. Millions of people to go see this movie.
Yeah.
They're going to laugh all the way to the bank. It's not going to matter to them, but it will matter to me, and that will be the final nail in the coffin.
It will matter to me, too.
You know what I'm saying? For me, I'm like, you know what? I can't handle these cash grabs anymore.
Mm.
That's my big thing, and maybe that's why I shit on Thor a little bit, but sometimes
they just did shit that they knew worked.
Yeah, and sometimes, you know what I'm saying? That might be, and this might be the part of our conversation where we're just going to get a little real with each other, but to me, there's got to be something more to a movie than how much fucking money can we make?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I don't want to go see Transformers 6.
Oh my God.
I don't want to go see, you
Fast
know,
Fast and the Furious 27.
I'll probably go see that. But still, you know what I'm saying? I don't want to go see.
Well, that's why I loved Birdman. You ever see Birdman?
Oh, loved it.
I loved it. And it was different.
Yeah. And really, all of the Oscar movies that come out, it's so funny that, like, because we were talking about Oscar season, mm-hmm. you know, coming upon us here. The movies that get nominated are like the five fucking movies that come out that are that aren't a reboot mm-hmm. or are not a sequel.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that one, the one year Birdman won, it was like all new and crazy shit.
Yeah. And look at it this way, guys, just to kind of drive this point home. Of the movies that we have just talked about today, I'm sitting here just looking at the list.
Mm-hmm.
Thor is a sequel. It is a remake. Kingsman is a sequel. Blade Runner 2049 is a sequel.
Technically.
Bad Moms Christmas is a sequel. And Murder on the Orient Express is a remake. And we're talking about
movies that are
Jumanji.
Seen
that's a fucking remake. We're talking about Star Wars, which is a sequel.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that comes out
is a fucking sequel.
Yeah.
Or a remake, like you said. Yeah. I agree. And the crazy thing is, the only reason we go and see it is because is it gonna change my mind about the last one?
Yeah. Is it gonna be better?
Is it gonna be better? Worse? Is it gonna suck?
But at the end of the day, guys, is it actually gonna matter? So many of these movies that we'll see, maybe we won't even remember them later. I'm glad we have this for posterity. I'm glad we have this podcast so that way we knew we remembered going to see these movies in the theater.
You said it to your grandchild. Well, back in 2017, I saw Murder on the Orient Express.
And it sucked then and it sucks now. 6.75, I say.
Yeah, still to this day.
So that's probably a good place to wrap it up. We got pretty deep there. But I think that's my true feelings on the matter.
Yeah, that's why. Yeah,
Star Wars. I'm excited to see you, but don't let me down. And even if you do let me down, like, it's not going to matter in the grand scheme of things. You're going to keep making money.
You can't regurgitate the same old fucking process every 2 to 3 years, or else someone's gonna, like us, are going to be like, we just saw this shit.
Yeah, you exactly.
Know? You can't. That's not good for business. It's not good for entertainment.
That's true. So we want something new. But you know what? Until then, we're going to go see all the movies in the meantime and in between time and let you know what we think about it.
Yes, we are.
Here on Team Will Smith's.
Team Will Smith.
Movie Pass Podcast. We're talking Sean Smith, John Wilmont. Get it? Wilmont, Sean Smith, Will Smith. Team Will Smith.
Team Will Smith.
Team Throwmont.
Throwmont. I don't know. Throwmont sounds better.
I don't know, man. Will Smith is pretty funny.
It's pretty funny.
Guys, you actually, at this point, this is where I'm going to tell you, please weigh in on this. I would like for you to vote Team Will Throwmont or Team
Will Smith.
Will Smith. Put it in the comments section below. Write me an email at SeanVersusWild@gmail.com. Put it on Facebook, Twitter, whatever. Let me know what is the better name so we can do this going forward. So, John, it was great getting to catch up with you. Great reviewing all these movies.
Yeah.
And we'll do it again here shortly. So we'll have a whole new batch of movies to talk to you about. And
we'll have Justice League.
We'll have Justice League. And the Star Wars is going to be out here. It's going to be upon us here. So Star Wars is probably going to be a big one. We might dedicate an entire episode to that.
Two weeks.
2 weeks from today. This will air probably on the 5th of December. Mm-hmm. So next week sometime. Guys, podcasts aren't live. Whatever. We've broken the fourth wall.
Yeah.
But so it'll be a week or two upon us by the time this airs. Or it might be right in our laps. Who the hell knows? So look forward to the full Star Wars review, I'm sure, at least, will probably take up the whole hour.
I hope we get a Deadpool trailer soon. A better one.
Yeah. Until then.
Yeah, until then.
But yeah, guys, in the meantime, in between time, we're going to be checking out.
I'm so high on cocaine.
We're going to be checking out all the movies and letting you know about it. So, yeah. And if you like what you hear, like, share, and subscribe to this. And then you can check out the normal Sean versus Wild format as well. That's going to keep going every single week. And this is a nice little added bonus, little sprinkle of cool things to come, and then it'll continue on throughout the year, I'm sure. So and if you have a movie pass, you want to be part of our fucking club,
hit us up, bro. Yeah, hit us up.
We would love to have I have two extra microphones here.
Any friends that we have want to come on here and just talk?
We need a third and a fourth, so let's make it happen.
We can play euchre while we're talking shit.
Exactly. So that's it. John, you got anything to say before we sign off?
Stay classy, San Diego. I mean, that's all I can say, really.
I feel you on that, guys. And that's it. That's been the Sean Burns Wild. This has been Team Thrillmont or Team Will Smith's.
You decide.
Movie Pass podcast. It's up to you to decide. Make sure you do that now. Like, share, and subscribe across all social media. And take care of yourself out there. Take care of yourselves and each other. Jerry Springer style. This has been, the Movie Pass edition of the Sean vs. Wild podcast.